I say a lot of dumb things when I'm angry. I think probably most of you do too. We all do, really. When we're angry, we don't think sometimes. We just speak out of the abundance of our heart in this particular area flows. For instance, the other day, Teresa had made some awesome pork chops, and we were bringing them up to the office. It's going to be our lunch. And she had put them in the, she had bagged them up and put them with some other lunch stuff, and she handed them to me, which in her mind was saying, I relinquish you the responsibility of putting this in the refrigerator when we get to the office. And I, of course, had watched her pack the lunch, and so in my mind, I'm thinking, oh, good, she's taking responsibility for putting this in the fridge. And so we've been at the office for a couple hours. It's Texas. We live in Texas, so it's like 300 degrees outside because it's August. And a couple hours go by, and we're like, hey, I'm kind of getting hungry. How about you? And yeah, let's go eat. Where's the lunch? You notice how I said, did you put it in the fridge? Because in my mind, I'd already I'd already assigned responsibility. And she's like, no, did you? Because she had assigned the same responsibility. I began to go on this quest of defending why, in my mind, it was her fault. And I just, you know, blamed her. Honestly, I just blamed her at some point in the conversation. I had to stop and be like, you know what? I'm an idiot. Sorry, I'm blaming you for this, when it's obviously both our faults. And she agreed to that. Which, that's one of the minor things, one of the less dumb things I've said. I hear people sometimes who are going through divorce, and I can't speak from an experience standpoint, just from an observation standpoint, because I've never been divorced, but I hear people say things like, oh, I never really loved them. I'm going to call you on that, because if you never really loved them, first of all, I don't know that I would spout that out, because you're going to have some people angry with you. Number one, probably your groomsmen or your bridesmaids, who you made wear ridiculous colors on a day, probably much like the day I described, where it was 300 degrees, outdoor wedding, and they're sweating in places that no person should feel sweat in front of other humans. And you are standing there with your doe eyes and your just crazy, goofy love face, declaring your love for this person. So to come back later and say, I never really loved them, it's probably not true. It's probably you just saying dumb things when you're mad. I can speak in relation, though, in this aspect. I've done the same thing as a child of God. See, because deep love often equals deep hurt. I think that's the way it has to be. I'm not one of these guys who's going to tell you, if you're in ministry, open yourself up. You know, don't open yourself up. Keep yourself walled off. You'd only let church folks so close. Only let members of your discipleship group know so much about you. Only tell people what you want them to know, because they'll use this to hurt you. The truth of this statement is, the untruth of that statement is that everyone, if given the chance, will hurt you, because we're all just deceitfully wicked, according to Jeremiah. If I'm given the chance to hurt you and I'm not where I need to be with Christ, I'm going to take that chance and I'm going to hurt you. And if you are given the chance to hurt me and you're not where you need to be with Christ and you strike out in the flesh, you're going to try to hurt me. And so the temptation is to live our lives at arm's length, not only with God's people, but with God. And we see in 1 John chapter 5 that it says that those who have been born of God, and everyone who loves the Father loves whoever has been born of Him. In other words, he said, what John here is saying is, those of us who've been born of God and those of us who love the Father, we love everyone who's been born of Him also. In other words, that's specifically talking about our brothers and sisters in Christ. And I speak about this because, man, that is some of the greatest hurt there is. You start talking to people, especially down here in Texas, you know, everybody south of Kansas claims to be the buckle of the Bible Belt. So I don't want to claim to be the buckle, because I know I don't want to start another church feud or whatever. So let's just say we're in the Bible Belt, because we obviously are. I mean, you can't go outside in Wichita Falls and shoot a potato cannon without hitting a church building, no matter how, which direction you shoot it. We've got this hurt. We've got this hurt, this he said this, and I can't fellowship with him anymore. He said, you start talking to people, you start sharing your faith and trying to start gospel conversations with people, and you find so much church hurt. So many people who still claim to be part of the body of Christ, but refuse to have anything to do with God because of the hurt they've experienced by the hands of someone else who also claimed to know Jesus. John is saying to us that when this is a reality to us, we not only love God the Father, but we love everyone who's also been born of Him. We love the fact that we've been born of Him, but we also love everyone else that's been born of Him. He goes on to say in verse 2, by this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and obey His commandments. But this is the love of God in verse 3, that we keep His commandments. And His commandments are not burdensome. See, I think there's a danger to loving people at arm's length, even if you feel like your walk with Christ is good. I think there's a danger into not being authentic with people, to not being real, is that you can't help but do that to God also. I believe it hurts our prayer life. I believe it hurts our quiet time with God. I believe it hurts us on our journey with Him, because we keep His people at arm's length. I believe it naturally becomes that we keep Him at arm's length. I can't tell you the number of people that I've talked to that won't come back and be a part of a church family and begin working on their relationship with God, with other people, because of hurt they've experienced at the hands of other people. And so, what started as just walls up to other people is now walls up between them and God. And they say things like, I never really believed that. I never really thought that. Really? Really? You never really thought that? Back up in your life 20, 25 years, when you were a sold out child of God and you couldn't wait to tell the people that you worked with about Jesus. You couldn't wait to get an opportunity to teach a class. You couldn't wait to do this, but then you got hurt by somebody who also named the name of Christ, and they hurt you real bad. I mean, I'm not taking away the pain of the hurt that you've experienced, but I'm just saying, if you turn that inward and you just look at that and you absorb that pain and you never ask God to help you lay it down at His feet and forgiveness to that person, you're just drinking poison waiting on them to die. And it's going to kill your relationship with Jesus too. We know that we love those begotten by Him. We know that we love our brothers and sisters in Christ when we love God and keep His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we obey Him. It's not on our strength. I'm not saying man up. You know, there's no part of the... I don't have any strength. It's all Him. It's all Him. He's already given this. He's already laid this out. He said in Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, as the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. In other words, He's already preparing in us the ability to be able to do what He's called us to do. So don't put walls up. I don't know why God led me this way. I just could not let go of this passage. I don't know what hurt you're feeling. I don't know what pain you have that somebody else has caused. Pick up your Bible. Pick up the phone and call another brother or sister in Christ that can help you through this. Don't pick up a brick and start building a wall between you and another believer.
Because that wall will grow until it's a wall between you and God. See, our love for our brothers and sisters in Christ is not the thermostat of our love for God. We don't set our love for God by our love for our brothers and sisters in Christ. It's the opposite. It's a thermometer. It's not a thermostat. It's just a thermometer. You want to know how you're doing in your relationship with God? You want to know if your walls that you've been building have gotten too high and they're hurting your relationship with God? What does your love towards your brothers and sisters in Christ look like? And when I say brothers and sisters in Christ, I'm going to go a little farther. I don't just mean the people that go to your little Baptist church or my little Baptist church or that call themselves Baptist or they call. I'm talking about people who you've talked to, who you know that one day you'll spend eternity in heaven with them, regardless what denomination they claim to, regardless of what things you disagree with them about in God's word, the things that are the open hand theology things, not the closed ones that we cannot divide on, but the things that are just opinion, the traditions that you've held on to. I'm talking about people that disagree with you on your opinions. And even if they're strong opinions, the thermometer of our love for God is how are we loving those people? When I say those people, I mean the people that God has put into our lives to love. The brothers and sisters in Christ. Because you know what? We can all say dumb things when we're angry. But we don't have to leave it there. We can forgive. Because he's given us the strength to do so. We can tear down walls because he's given us the strength to do so. We can mend relationships because he gives us the strength to do so. Grace is not just provisional good things. Grace is the power to do what God has called us to do. And God has rained down his grace on us. God bless you. I hope if you don't need this, share it with somebody who does. God laid this in my heart, and I just couldn't not share it with you. Have a great Monday.